faculty, friends and family, Dr. Moeller, Dr. Moore, most importantly today, graduates. It's always an honor to stand before you. It's an honor today as my final time as your dean. Not because I intend to stop being the dean, but because you are no longer our students, but our graduates. It's an honor to be with you because you are the men and women who have forsaken other opportunities to take this opportunity to train for the gospel ministry. You've come to train to study the Word of God, to develop the skills and the gifts that effective ministry requires, to construct and hone a distinctively Christian worldview so that you're prepared to engage the ever-changing culture with the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. This regalia, the pomp and circumstance involved today, the formality of this occasion remind us that you are not the first graduates of this institution, nor will you be the last by God's grace. Instead, you stand in a long line of men and women who have trained here and who have gone forth to effective ministry throughout the world. Our founder, James Pettigrew Boyce, had a vision for theological education. That vision was necessitated by the great opportunity that Southern Baptists have to impact the world for the gospel. James Boyce said this. He said, "Oh, were there ever a time when we should expect that God would answer the prayers of His churches and overflood the land and the world with a ministry adequate to uphold His cause in every locality, it would seem to be now. Now, when the wealth of the churches is sufficient to send the gospel to every creature." He goes on to say, "Now, when the multiplication a thousandfold of the laborers will still leave an abundant work for each. But now, alas, when our churches at home are not adequately supplied, when the dark and destitute places are found in the most favored portions of our own land, when the heathen are at our very doors, and the cry is help, help, and there is no help, because there are not enough laborers to meet the wants immediately around us." James Boyce said those words, and from that great need that he saw, he developed the vision for this institution, and God has allowed that vision to come to pass. And we are the beneficiaries of that vision. The school was founded in 1859, and in 1860 they had the very first commencement service. They sang a hymn at that commencement service that is now called the Seminary Hymn. The hymn says this, "Soldiers of Christ, in truth arrayed, a world in ruins needs your aid. A world by sin destroyed and dead, a world for which the Savior bled." That vision that the founders of this school had for the future, the vision to produce an army of well-trained, passionate ministers of the gospel, and yet the 26 students that were there that day in 1860 hardly constituted an army, but those men had vision. You're the vision. In 1962, an old soldier received the prestigious award. He received it at the United States Military Academy at West Point. His name was General Douglas MacArthur. He gave a famous speech, and in that speech he talked about what a wonderful thing it was to be a part of the long gray line. The long gray line referred to all of the West Pointers that had gone before. Douglas MacArthur was a West Pointer. And he was a soldier who served in a distinguished manner. And he said this on that day to the soldiers. He said, "Others will debate the controversial issues, national and international, which divide men's minds. But serene, calm, aloof, you stand as the nation's war guardians, as its lifeguards from the raging tides of international conflict, as its gladiators in the arena of battle. For a century and a half, you have defended, guarded, and protected its hallowed traditions of liberty and freedom, of right and justice. You are the leaven which binds together the entire fabric of our national system of defense. From your ranks come the great captains who hold the nation's destiny in their hands the moment the war tocsin sounds. General MacArthur said, the long gray line has never failed us. Were you to do so, a million ghosts in olive drab, in brown khaki, in blue and gray would arise from their white crosses, thundering those magic words, duty, honor, country." I don't know if General MacArthur was a Christian or not, but his thoughts echo the words of Holy Scripture, where another old soldier encourages a young minister about the task of serving the church and preaching the gospel. President Moeller read these words, and I want to read them again, but go on a little bit further. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "You, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And then he said this, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Students, your task is not to please anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been called by Him. You've been equipped by Him. And you have a great mission and a great task. Your calling's important. Students, would you just take this time right now? I want you to look around at the other students who are sitting with you in the pews. Go ahead and do that. Just look around at one another. As Dr. Moeller noted, this group will never be together like this ever again. It just won't happen. Sitting next to you are pastors and missionaries and youth pastors and godly lay people, Christian leaders. This group, you are the soldiers of Christ in truth arrayed. Faculty, you know as well as I do that when we look into the faces of these students, we see the future. We see the future of the church. We see the future of the mission field. We see those who are going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that's why it's such an honor for us to be here. In another famous speech, General MacArthur said, "Old soldiers never die. They just fade away." Thankfully, in the gospel ministry, we neither die nor fade away. Our souls and our work, our gospel and our God are eternal. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote, "For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory." Graduates, it's been an honor to serve as your dean. And let me just close with a brief word of encouragement from one soldier to another. Times can be hard in the ministry. It looks as if others that you grew up with have everything, and you look around and you might think that you have nothing. Others will not understand your calling, but other soldiers, we understand it. Others may not respect your mission, but other soldiers understand it and we respect it. Others may not honor your work and your sacrifice, but other soldiers honor it. When times are hard, you remember, you have the grace and the power of God on your life. You have the call of God reverberating in your heart. You have the Word of God burning like a fire in your bones. You have the gospel of God demanding to be declared to the nations. You have the people of God praying for you, looking to you, needing you to lead. And you have your fellow soldiers. We're counting on you to stay the course. Graduates, proud of you. We love you. Wherever you go, we want you to remember you have a home here at Boyce College. For you are the soldiers of Christ in truth arrayed for the advance of the gospel, for the glory of God. Amen.